0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain signs a one-year deal to return to Celtic. Is Conor Barron a Bologna target as question marks continue over Lewis Ferguson? And the competitive action returns to Scottish football this weekend as the Premier Sports Cup group stage kicks off. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Roger Hanna.
Yeah, it's a kind of bizarre time. World Cup's still raging on, and yet Celtic are in Dublin. They play Shelburne tomorrow night in their first pre-season friendly. Rangers under Derek McInnes head for Spain later on this week for their pre-season. Hearts and St Mirren are actually coming back from their pre-season in Spain. And as you say, the domestic season, we think, kicks off on Saturday with the Premier Sports Cup, unless Donald Trump's got something to say about it.
Yeah, we'll maybe get into that a bit later on. It's all been kicking off in the World Cup. As soon as Scotland get kicked out, the drama is at an all-time high, I think.
An all-time high. Only two people in the world, one Donald Trump and two Gianni Infantino, think this is the right decision to suspend a suspension, if you like. So Fuller and Balogun of the USA should play against Belgium tonight. He's free to play against Belgium tonight. You just wonder what Mauricio Pochettino, Fuller and Balogun, and poor Ricardo Pepe, who was a player who was going to come in for him and play the biggest game of his life. You wonder what they make of it all.
Closer to home, there are always transfer stories floating about at this time of year. I think some supporters will be happy with the business their club have done so far. I think maybe some will be waiting. I know we had Celtic fans on last week, some of them worried about the fact that they hadn't had any new signings in the door. It's still the case, but they do have Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain now on a one-year deal. What did you make of that development over the weekend?
Yeah, we should have sussed that one out when his wife appeared in our music festival in the Celtic home top the other weekend. He's back. Celtic fans will not doubt the quality of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. The only question marks last season are about his fitness. But he arrived in February after a transfer window had closed, hadn't played much at Besiktas prior to that, didn't really look fully fit at any stage. But if he's got a full pre-season under his belt, Celtic fans will hope it'll be like a new signing.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Celtic fans, I know many of you waiting for that first new signing of the window. It could be Camilo Duran, the striker. It looks as if that may be getting closer. But what about the return of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Is that one you wanted to see happen? Has that come as a surprise to you, the fact that he didn't play too much towards the end of the season? What does it signal for the rest of Celtic's business across this transfer window? 0141 951 1025. No new signings yet this week, Rangers fans. There has been quite a bit going on. What about those Bologna links though? Because Nico Raskin was linked with them at one point, Conor Barron the latest to be linked with them. And what about Lewis Ferguson in the other direction? Do you think a deal can maybe be struck there? Do you think it's possible? Or are other areas and other players that Rangers need to be looking at? And what about supporters of other teams, especially the ones involved in the Premier Sports Cup group stages this weekend? Because it always comes around so quickly, doesn't it? We've been distracted by the World Cup and all of a sudden the competitive action is back this weekend. Is your team ready? What do you need to see from them this weekend? How are you feeling ahead of the campaign? Are you confident? Are you worried? There's more need to be done in the transfer window. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've still got some lingering thoughts about the World Cup and Scotland and who the next Scotland manager is going to be, because we had a few suggestions last week, Roger, about Ange Postecoglou on the phones, but it's of course not going to be him. He's the new Al Nassr manager, but you'd expect Scotland will just be taking their time because there's no rush with the next international break, not until the end of September.
I would say there is a rush because you want to get a new manager in. We talk about international breaks. There's a new international calendar this season, Andrew. I'm not sure how many people know about it, but rather than early September, early October and early November, there's going to be a bumper window at the end of September into the first few days of October. Scotland will play four competitive games in a 10-day period during that break. The Nations League now has importance because it can help you into the Euros by the back door, if you like. So although we're co-hosts of the Euros, you want to get as many chances as you can to qualify for what would be a fourth major tournament in five goes, if you like. So it's hugely important the SFA get a guy in early. We're looking at it, the Tartan Army are looking at it, and the key players will be looking at it, because they've had a manager for 7 years. They will want a proper boss in place quickly.
That's going to be an intensely quick judgment period for whoever the new manager is, because all of a sudden you're thrown into camp, you've not got much time to get your players together, to get your squad together, and then four games.
Yeah, among the opposition, of course, Switzerland, who are still in the World Cup. They play Colombia with a chance of a quarter final against potentially Argentina. They are Slovenia, North Macedonia. The new manager won't be able to take anything for granted. I think it's League B1, I think we're in this time. They'll be difficult games, Andrew.
141-951-1025, as I say, whether it is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain returning to Celtic, what about just general transfer business when it comes to the likes of Celtic and Rangers, other teams out there, the ones that are competing this weekend in the Premier Sports Cup group stages. Let us know on that number, 141-951-1025, and we'll hear from you between now and 7 o'clock. Let's kick off with that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain news. It did happen on Saturday morning. This is the first time we've had to speak about it, and it was one of the real debating points about Celtic towards the end of last season. Would Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain return? Would Kelechi Iheanacho return? And the deals that would have seen them come back, they expired. The initial sort of contract to extend it by a year expired. That maybe made people think that it wasn't going to happen. The fact that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain didn't feature much towards the end of last season, I think people maybe thought might mean that he not wouldn't return, but here he is back in a one-year deal.
Yeah, and listen, I can't disagree with any of those things that you said. It was very noticeable towards the end of last season that Martin O'Neill went with the sort of tried and trusted, if you like. Callum McGregor was in there, Ali Ingles was back fit and was in there, Benjamin Negrin was in there, and Oxlade-Chamberlain really didn't see much regular first team football. But, you know, any time Martin spoke last season about both Oxlade-Chamberlain and Iheanacho, it was just that line about the fitness, about match readiness. You would hope now, I mean, he's still a reasonably young man, Oxlade-Chamberlain. You see some of these, you know, guys like Ronaldo and Modric and Messi careering about the World Cup. You know, he's a lot younger than any of them, so there's no reason why he can't get a proper pre-season under his belt with Celtic. They're in Dublin for the game with Shelburne tomorrow. They head over to Portugal after that. They've got a couple of home games. I think it's Middlesbrough and Milan coming to town. So there's plenty of opportunity for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to get to optimum fitness and show the Celtic fans more than they saw in the second half of last season.
Now that that first sort of tangible piece of squad business has been done by Celtic, I think the Celtic fans' attentions will now turn to who's that first new signing going to be, what area of the park, how quickly are Celtic going to get it done? Because yes, the competitive season for some teams starts this weekend, but it's not all that far away, 30 odd days, something like that, until the league campaign starts.
And listen, the Champions League qualifier is always the one that sort of looms in the calendar at this time of year. Celtic will not want to be embarrassed as they were against Kairat Almaty last summer, Andrew. It affected the club's kudos and it affected, you know, revenue streams. They weren't in the Champions League because of that defeat. They cannot count on something like that happening again. They need as many bodies in the door as they can. Camilo Duran of Carabag, it was a story from our friend David Frail of this show and the Scottish Sun. The deal is moving closer. I believe it's one that Celtic had opportunity to close out a little bit of time ago and the deal wasn't done, and it looks as if they're getting round to it now. There will be ones going out the door. Arnie Ingles, a huge interest in Arnie Ingles, and they've lined up the, oh, you weren't going to make me pronounce this, the Lithuanian lad at Torino, Che Adams, pal. As a potential replacement there as well. He would cost money, but if you remember, Arnie Ingles cost £11 million and looks as if he's going to be shipped out for in excess of 25. So sometimes if you speculate, you can accumulate long term.
Let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. First of all, John, that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain news that broke over the weekend, are you happy to see him back?
About 50-50 in that, Roger and Andrew, because obviously the guy is a quality player, but I know maybe we look back, his goal in Livingston, that was maybe a goal that did help towards us winning the league, obviously, in the last kick of the ball. But if he gets himself fit, I think it'll be a great signing, you know what I mean? If he, I would like him, out of the two, I would love it. Iheanacho would be there if he could stay fit. But he's quality, but it's just a case of if he's falling fit and can do a full season for us, you know what I mean? I think it will be a good signing. So it will.
Yeah, because it was a real positive start for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, made an instant impact.
Yeah, goal against Levy.
But then sort of fell away from things, and the fact he wasn't really involved late on kind of makes you wonder what Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham were seeing. You know, they had more players back, Arne Ingles came back fit.
Listen, what they see, you'll be able to see flashes in games and flashes in training of his ability. You don't achieve what Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has achieved in his career winning things with Arsenal and Liverpool, all those, I think 35 England caps, whatever it was, scoring goals against Scotland. He's had a great career. So the talent is there. It's just a case of whether he can get that level of fitness. He had issues last season, but with a pre-season under his belt, you know, you could see a different player. If you're ever going to get Iheanacho fit, you need to sign him now and give him that same period of time. There's no point letting this drift and drift and drift and drift and drift and wait until the end of August or the start of September, as it was last year, and then giving Kelechi Iheanacho a contract. And he's missed the most important 2 months for fitness of the season. If they've any intention of signing Iheanacho at all, they need to sign him now.
How pivotal was that central striking role, John? Because a lot of chat about Daizen Maeda and his future, whether he's going to be there next season. Kelechi Iheanacho, as you say, his future's hanging in the balance. Callum Osmond made an impact last season, but still young, only played 3 or 4 games in total. Is that a real area of concern or an area that needs addressed going into the campaign?
I think there's a lot of areas that needs addressed, but I would like... As I spoke to the producer, I think the guy, that's Floyd Duran, as you call him, the Colombian, he looks quite good, and obviously he scored 5 goals in the Champions League against your Newcastle, Benfica, etc., Aston Villa, I think it was. So he comes with not a bad pedigree, and I don't know what the outlay will be, but I think it will be a good signing if they can get him. So I do. But I would like, I don't know if you watched the, well, you probably was, Roger, I like the young boy Sinsalo, right? Done well, but I still think we need an upgrade as well. And I know it's maybe I'm talking a lot of rubbish here, but the boy last night for Norway, he's a free agent for Seville. I thought he looked, I know he's 35, as we've went the last 7 or 8 seasons with your Joe Hart, your Casper Spikles. I think this boy's at Highland or something.
Yeah, Orion Island.
I think he's been a good signing for a year or two, mate.
Listen, it's a strange situation. I've spoken to a few folk about this. Celtic have done well with goalies in the last bundle of years, you know, from Boric through Foster through Gordon, then it was Joe Hart who did particularly well, and then Casper Schmeichel. So they've sort of changed these experienced guys. They've never been in a situation like this. You know, Sinisalo had the last, what would it be, 2 months of the season. Sinisalo won a double, effectively, with Celtic, a league and cup. He's 23 years of age, he's a full international with Finland. He will feel... he should get a crack at being Celtic's number one. And if, and say for argument's sake, as John says, Orion Nyland comes in or someone else comes in, the first thing that Vojami Sinisalo will be doing is banging Martin O'Neill's door to say, hang on a wee minute here, this wasn't what I was told. So he will believe he's number one. But you're right, John, it's a big, big decision for Celtic. Have Martin O'Neill and the staff and Stevie Woods seen enough to convince themselves that Sinisalo is the number one?
Did you see enough from him, John, in those last couple of months of the season?
I think he's good, but I mean, I know he's quite young for a goalkeeper. You know what I mean, I know sometimes they sort of get better as they get older. But I mean, the last game of the season against Hearts, I mean, defending, and all you can blame defenders too, but he came out for the one when Shanklin scored the opener, and to me, he was in no man's land. I still think he's got a lot to learn, and I would still think. Would like to see an upgrade, obviously, and maybe, you know, a couple of years down the line, he learns his tricks, etc. But I know what you're saying, Roger. He might think he's the number one now, and rightly so. But I think he's a good goalkeeper, but I still think there's a bit to learn, and I would still like another good goalkeeper in there to, you know, to help him out, sort of thing, to bring him on. Can I bring another point, Roger? Yeah, that's at my point to start with, when I was coming on. Obviously, I like to talk to Celtic too, but obviously, you're a very intelligent man, Roger, right? This carry on that happened with Mr. Trump, I think that's put a wee bit of downer on my World Cup. It's, to me, it's corruption, you know what I mean? No matter if the guy deserved to be sent off or not.
We maybe need to be careful with using that word, John.
Well, all right, well.
For the best world in the world, John, I can't imagine Donald J. Trump's going to sue us for first scoreboard. I'd be very surprised. I know he listens to the show and he's down at Tunbury, but apart from that, I don't think he will. Listen, everyone's thinking the same thing, John. It really has cast a cloud over this World Cup. The fact that this afternoon Trump's now come out and admitted that he did make the phone call to Johnny, as he calls him, Infantino. The fact that Infantino has now been sort of pressed into making his own statement. The fact that UEFA this morning came out and expressed bewilderment at the decision, and even the likes of Sepp Blatter, remember him? Not exactly a paragon of virtue when he was in charge of FIFA himself. Even he's coming out and saying, this is the wrong decision, this isn't a good thing. This, in my opinion, Now, I don't know whether Balogun will play tonight, score tonight, win tonight, sit on the bench tonight. I've no idea. But this, as you say, has cast a dark shadow over this tournament. We have not heard the end of this. And I wonder if this could be the start of some kind of downfall for Infantino.
Well, thank you to John. What about Ian in Kings Park? Ian, what are you thinking this evening?
Well, after the abject failure of Scotland, and they're talking about getting a new manager, should they not start looking at under-21s, under-19s, under-17s? Why no Scottish teams ever managed to get to those the actual competition? You see the teams in the UEFA competitions, under-19, you never see Scotland there. Our under-21s, we never see Scotland there. We see teams from Burkina Faso, Mali, teams that we used to laugh at. Wales have got a team in. You know, we never seem to... So I think that should all be looked at. The whole root and branch of the Scottish management coaching system should be looked at. And it'd be better if they don't hurry up and get a manager. The Nations Cup starts, in about 8 weeks' time? 6 weeks?
Yeah. About 8 weeks' time, Ian.
You know, just before, I never thought they'd give a Celtic fan. I was just listening to him about Trump. The whole thing should never have gone to America.
Just on Ian's point about the sort of youth football in Scotland, I mean, it's just such a big question about how can we produce better players at a younger level and that have... always been, you know, the SFA have had the JD performance schools that they've had, and that's coming to an end, isn't it? And there'll be something else replacing that. But there always just will be those questions. Are the next generation coming through? Are they being coached in the right way? How do we produce better players and keep that conveyor belt going and raising the standards?
Yeah, and they've looked at a lot of things. They looked at performance schools, they're looking at a Club Academy Scotland set up, and I think it's being disbanded as well. So it's all very well stopping doing these things. You need to find something to replace them. What's going to be the vehicle that brings all these young players on? There were some good young players in that squad at the World Cup. You know, Ben Doak's still on the 20. I think Finlay Curtis is 19. Tyler Fletcher, although he's hardly come through the Scottish system, 19 years of age. But Ian, your point's right. I mean, we still look back at, you know, Steve Clarke scoring for a Scotland youth team in the Azteca in Mexico City 40 years ago. Pat Nevin celebrating when the Scotland under-19s, I think, won the European tournament in Finland 40 years ago. You know, Scott Gemmell has been in charge of that under-21 squad for a long, long time, not really to any great effect. Any real quality players, the Dokes, the Curtises, you know, the ones before that, Billy Gilmer, Nathan Patterson, they were just fast-tracked straight into the first team. They didn't really get through the under-21 system. So it's a very good point Ian makes. And I think in the short term, the SFA need to find a men's head coach. But beyond that, they do need to look about how the men's head coach is going to be served with the next generation of players.
Who do you think that next manager should be, Ian? Have you got any ideas?
Not really. I mean, the two ones that people thought, the Rangers manager, you know...
Dennett McInnes.
McInnes, and
David Moyes.
No, Moyes wouldn't come, he wouldn't leave Everton. McInnes was snapped up. They might have, if Rangers hadn't gone for him, they might have gone. But as usual, they sit and hum-haw, have the committed decisions, you know.
Well, I suppose the Dennett McInnes deal had been done before there was, you know, any sign that Steve Clarke was going to leave Scotland, and he'd just signed a four-year deal.
Where Dennett McInnes is in his career, the Rangers job would be more attractive to him than the Scotland job anyway, and it would be more lucrative to him than the Scotland job. Ange Postecoglou, I think, got a couple of mentions in the show here last Monday night, Andrew, when we were on. He's just gone to Al Nassr in the Saudi Pro League. Now, I'm not privy to the contract details, but...
I've seen some of the money being quoted, which...
Well, what we do know is his predecessor, Jorge Jesus, the Portuguese, get $10 million a year. So unless Mike Mulroney and Ian Maxwell have found some loose change down the back of the couch in Hampden, they're not getting anywhere near that. David Moyes will get probably six or seven times at Everton what he would get at Hampden. So this is just the reality of the situation. When Scotland took Steve Clarke 7 years ago, they were taking him from Kilmarnock. No disrespect to anyone in that sentence, but they're going to find it difficult to find someone of the quality in the CV of Steve Clarke for what they're able, not willing, what they're able to pay.
Thank you to Ian. 0141 951 1025 if you've got any more thoughts, and it's the same number to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Remember, during the 1 hour shows, this is Beat the Pundit time, around 20 past 25 past 6. So now is when you need to get your call in to play Roger Hannah at Beat the Pundit. Phone in during the next break, 0141 951 1025, and you can be up next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
I start thinking, what happens if somebody steals my belt?
Why would they steal your belt?
Your belt. Somebody could be stunned at the other end. Can't he just take your basket?
Have you ever heard any examples of that happening?
I remember seeing a guy in the airport with four belts on. Would it make a difference to your day-to-day life if England went on to clinch this World Cup?
Oh, it'd be brutal.
And I fold the pillow in half. When I go to sleep, I stick the corner of the pillow in my...
You ever spoken to a professional about any of this?
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking back still on Scotland, the World Cup, new managerial situation with Scotland, the fact that Steve Clarke is gone. So any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. Looking at the fact that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain returned to Celtic on a 1 year deal over the weekend. Could Camilo Duran, the Carabag striker, be coming in as Celtic's first new signing? We've been looking at the situation at Rangers. Is Conor Barron a Bologna target? And what about the fact that the Premier Sports Cup is back this weekend? Competitive action is back on Saturday. So how is your team geared up for that? Let us know on 0141 951 1025. We'll play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you lose last time you were in, Roger?
No.
Oh, you won on a tiebreaker last time, and then lost the time before. So it's been pretty tight.
It's been a difficult summer. I need a break. Need a proper pre-season. Get myself moving again.
I mean, is this your pre-season? Is that the... No?
It's very... Look, can I merge into one now?
Yeah.
Amazing number of people. You'll get it as well, Andrew. The number of people who say, it's the season finished, you'll be quiet. There's never a quiet time.
No.
There's never a quiet time.
Never a quiet time. Right, Jamie is in Old Drumchapel. Jamie, have you played before?
No, only on the radio.
Just playing along at home?
Aye.
How do you normally fare?
Usually about a three.
Never played before, and it's going to be up against Roger Hanna. Do you fancy yourself then?
That's all right with me.
But that means I need to get five to win, you see.
That's true, because he's on minus one.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. That is weighing up the balance of, do you want to play Roger because he's really good, or do you want to play him because he's on minus one and you get a head start? Who knows? But we will see.
You know the worst, Jamie, about playing at this time of the season?
Yeah.
The music and Greatest Hits Radio isn't as good at half six as it is at 7 o'clock. I've noticed that in the last few weeks.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yep. Completely different. Totally different vibe.
Right. Okay. We'll put some of that in your ear right now and you can let us know whether it's good or bad. For you, Jamie, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yep, no problem.
Let's go for it. Which company sponsors the Scottish League Cup?
Pass.
Who manages Livingston?
It was Marvin, but pass.
Name either club Conor Barron has played for on loan.
On loan? Aberdeen.
Who signed Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for Arsenal?
Which manager?
Yes.
Pass.
In what year did Portugal win the Euros?
2012.
Right, we will bring Roger back in. Can you hear us, Roger? Yeah, any better this time?
I'm going to have to eat my words now. That was shoddy. That was quite good.
Shoddy? Sounds before my time.
Yeah, 1980s.
Oh,
your love is
king. No idea. Right, anyway, let's get on to the better stuff.
Okay, okay.
30 seconds for Roger Hannah. Let's go. Which company sponsors the Scottish League Cup?
Premier Sports.
Who manages Livingston?
Glenn Whelan.
Name either club Conor Barron has played for on loan.
Oh, Cove.
Who signed Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for Arsenal?
Arsene Wenger.
In what year did Portugal win the Euros?
2016.
Former Rangers striker Robbie Ure is top scorer in which country?
Sweden.
How many Premiership sides have a Scottish manager?
Oh, goodness. Four.
How do you think it went, Jamie?
Can I just hang up now?
We'll go through them. Jamie's not too confident. We'll see how you got on, Roger. Which company sponsors the Scottish League Cup? It is the Premier Sports Cup. Jamie didn't get it. Roger did get it. So level. You draw level, of course, because you start on minus one. Who manages Livingston? Jamie was deliberating. He knew. He was saying in his head it was Marvin Bartley. Who is it now? It's Glenn Whelan, who Roger Hanna said. So Roger Hanna is one up. Name either club Conor Barron has played for on loan. Jamie didn't get it. You hummed and hawed and went for Cove.
I was just thinking teams near Aberdeen that he might have gone on loan to.
That would have been good logic for Brechin, which was one of the teams. Kelty Hearts.
I don't remember.
Was the
either.
Other.
I do not remember either.
So you stay one up. Who signed Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for Arsenal? Jamie didn't get it. You did get that it was Arsene Wenger. So it's two up to Roger. And what year did Portugal win the Euros? Jamie went for 2012. You went for 2016. The answer was 2016. That 1-0 win in the final. So Roger is three up and Jamie didn't get any more questions in. A couple more for Roger. Former Rangers striker Robbie Ure is top scorer in which country? Sweden is the correct answer. Goes four up. I think he's got 11 in 11 games this season.
Is it serious? I think the team.
Yeah, so going well. I think they're top of the league too. And then final question, quite a good one, this, especially when there's a lot of managerial changes ongoing. How many Premiership sides have a Scottish manager? You said four. You can go through them if you like.
Derek McInnes
is, of course,
David Gray.
Correct. David Gray.
John McGlynn.
Correct. John McGlynn.
Oh, Elvis.
Is correct.
Craig
Elvis
McLeish.
Is correct. Craig McLeish.
Is five.
And Neil McCann.
Neil McCann.
At Kilmarnock.
Six,
so half the teams in the Premiership have a Scottish manager. So it is a zero for Jamie, unfortunately, and Roger wins by four. Unlucky, Jamie.
That was poor.
Who's your team, Jamie? Who do you support?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about Rangers' transfer window so far and the business that's been done?
I'm happy enough at the moment. I think we need a few more in with a bit more first team quality, but a lot of Rangers fans were shouting out for more of a Scottish core, and now we're starting to do that and people still aren't happy. So I think we just need to wait and see what comes in the next few weeks, and now that Derek McInnes is in, but I think he's the right guy to be in charge, and we'll hopefully see some more quality coming through.
In terms of that quality you want to see coming in, any positions in particular, any players in particular you'd like to see in at Ibrox?
I think on the wings we need someone that's going to... We've got decent strikers now that can put the ball in, Shankland and Jimmy Eaton. Miofsky's not had enough service, so we need boys that can put in decent crosses consistently and get to the byline or cut in and play the balls into the box. So either wing really, and then I think we need to shore up in centre-back still.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of focus on the central midfield area with Rangers... Already, you know, looked at that area. There are a couple of players that, you know, Lewis Ferguson being the main one that's been talked about. The wide areas is one that's maybe not been talked about as much, and it seems to be quite important, doesn't it, Roger? Because you look at how Derek McInnes plays. If he is going to maybe emulate what he did at Hearts and he plays with that 4-4-2, Rangers maybe don't have the natural berth of what sort of wide option.
I know what you mean, but a lot of the time at Hearts, the 4-4-2 was sort of one tucked in and one authentic winger.
I played a Harry Milne there quite often.
So, you know, Finlay Curtis is back at the club. Gassama's still there. I know Ant-Man didn't see a lot of football, but there are options there. I wonder if you see a three in the middle of the park, you know, a combination, you know, Raskin perhaps. There's Diamandé, there's Barron, there's various, you know, Dan Neal signed now, there's Chukwuane. You might see even three of them playing a winger. And then I think you will see two strikers. You know, Braga and Shankland were key to everything he did last season. So if that becomes Chirmiti and Shankland this season, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Jamie, you're right. I think they're short at centre-back, even with Ben Godfrey in. There's Fernandez, Suter and Ben Godfrey, and that's about it. I think they need another left-back because both Romans is there on his own now, you know. Magoma's away, Ahrens is away, Cornelius is away, all the options for back up to two Romans. I think they need somebody in that position there as well. And, you know, by the sounds of things, there might be another midfielder. A lot of it will be dictated by guys going out the door there. You know, if we're saying you know, Engels might leave Celtic, Atanti might leave Celtic, I do still think there's a chance that Nico Raskin could leave Rangers. Big game for him tonight.
Yeah, in terms of some of the potential outgoings, Jamie, are there any players that you're desperate to hold on to? There's been talk about Nico Raskin, there's been talk about Yusuf Chermiti last week, there's been talk about Emmanuel Fernandez. Is there any of those you know, you'd be desperate to hold on to and can't see leaving?
I think Fernandez would be good to keep for another season if we can, because I think he's only going to get better unless he has an injury, which is always possible at Rangers. But I think with Raskin, there's a lot of promise with him, and he seems to be doing really well for Belgium, but he just doesn't seem to suit playing with Rangers because he wants to come deep all the time, whereas he's doing that against a low block, which isn't making a huge difference. So I think it's a shame because I think Raskin could have been really good, but I think we need to move him on now. And Dio Monde, I'm not too keen on keeping either. So I think there's two that you could make a bit of money off there and then rebuild the squad with that money. And Chimiti, I think I wasn't too sure on him towards the start of the season. I'm still not convinced, but there is a player there that I think if he gets the right deliveries and the right service, then he'll be a real asset to Rangers. So I think keep him for another season as well.
You look at the central midfield area, Rangers do have quite a few players in there already. The fact that Dan Neil has been brought in, there's talk about Lewis Ferguson, there's talk about Partizan Belgrade's captain.
Jose Cifuentes is back as well.
That's true. Is he going to be a big player this season?
I wouldn't imagine. No. But listen,
does that maybe...
Jamie's right. If you're talking about keeping players and letting players go, you would want to keep Chermiti, I think, because he was showing signs. You would want to keep Fernandez. But I think in that congested midfield area, Rangers could probably afford to let Raskin and Diamandé go, because I mean, we've mentioned all these names: Dan Neil, Conor Barn, Chukwuani. There's Tello Asgard coming back in the World Cup. There are options there, and particularly if, again, we talk about unpronounceable names, the Partizan Belgrade skipper as well looks a genuine target as well.
Are you feeling optimistic about the season ahead, Jamie?
Yeah, and I think based on those names that you were saying, I think if Raskin and Diamandé were to both go, I think it would be good if we could bring Lewis Ferguson. That would be great. I was over in America for the World Cup, and he seemed to just be absolutely in control throughout all three games. So I think having him in Scottish football but back at Rangers would be kind of help us be a complete team. But I think based compared to the start of last season, I think there's a bit more confidence in having Derek McInnes back in and getting a bit more Scottish players back into the club as well. So I'm quietly confident. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Is there an avenue where the Lewis Ferguson deal looks realistic? Because there's talk about price tags, you know, Italian reports of 17 million. There's talk of bigger Italian clubs looking at
it. I just think it's too rich. Bearing in mind, you know, Chermiti came in last summer for 8, and that was huge money. That was the biggest transfer fee Rangers had paid in 25 years. So you're now asking Rangers to double that and a wee bit more. I just can't see. You also need to pay him as a £17 million player. I just think if he moves on this season after his performances at the World Cup and he was Scotland's best player, I just think, you know, a bigger Italian team or even an English Premier League team, teams who readily go and pay £17 million and 50 grand a week and don't bat an eyelid, I think someone like that will come and get Lewis Ferguson.
And then I wonder the scrutiny that comes with that. If you pay such a big fee in Scottish football, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if that's the fee that's been quoted, and say Rangers just did it, imagine the scrutiny around that signing of how well he would have to perform to meet those expectations, because people would then turn around and say, well, Rangers could have bought, you know, two £6 million player and a £5 million player and improved different areas of the team instead of bringing in one.
Jamie says you could go and get a central defender, a winger, another left back or something for that money, and they would all probably be upgrades on what you've already got at the club.
Well, thank you to Jamie. 0141 951 1025. More calls once I tell you about this.
Cruise down the Clyde with 101 convenience stores, open all day every day.
Well, get ready for an unforgettable night on the water as Clyde One and Cash for Kids bring you Cruise Down the Clyde. We're setting sail on board the iconic Waverley Paddle Steamer with DJ sets upstairs from the likes of Cassie, Gary Spence, Callum Gallagher and of course George Bowie, bringing you the GBX. Plus downstairs, Grant Thompson will be doing a head-to-head DJ battle with Stephen Mill. It's happening on Friday the 31st of July. It's all to help children in Ayrshire, Glasgow and the West, and you need to be quick. I'm not just saying that, there are less than 20 tickets available now. That's how quickly they've sold out. So less than 20 tickets available. So if you want to get one of those 20 tickets, then you need to head to Clyde1.com/cashforkids. Cruise Down the Clyde is brought to you all thanks to 101 Convenience Stores.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean, taking more of your calls. So get them in now, 0141 951 1025. There is an 8 o'clock kickoff in the World Cup. Looks a good one, actually. Portugal against Spain.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Remember the 3-3 a couple of World Cups ago? Oh, Ronaldo hat trick.
That was good.
Yeah.
Hopefully more of the same.
Something like that tonight would do fine.
That's not bad at all. And then is there a morning kickoff?
Overnight, I'm trying to think. Yeah, USA and Belgium, the Balogun game.
Oh, is that the one that's at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, and then tomorrow you've got earlier when you think you've got Argentina, Egypt,
five o'clock, Switzerland, Colombia at 9.
Spying mission for the new Scotland manager.
That was some game between Mexico and England.
Best game of the tournament
last night, wasn't it?
Best game of the tournament. Had a little bit of everything, a bit of VAR controversy, red card, a couple of penalties. Injuries
to players who didn't even enter the field of play, just tried to jump over an advertising board and broke his wrist, I think.
Yeah, broken wrist or broken arm. He's still in hospital in Mexico City. Might need surgery, will not play again. Gerald Kwanzaa will be suspended again, unless Donald Trump intervenes for the game against Norway. Rhys James still an injury doubt. So interesting to see what happens. You wonder, does Ezri Konsa go to right back? And that means the two Man City centre half, Stones and Gehi, have to take on Haaland.
Be an interesting matchup, wouldn't it?
Be a great game.
Right, let's go back to the phones. Laurie is up next. Laurie, what have you got for us tonight?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Roger.
Hi, Laurie.
Andrew, firstly, what I would like to say is that it hasn't escaped my notice that spectators attempting to enter stadiums at the World Cup in North America have had flags confiscated from them, Palestinian flags in particular, ostensibly because FIFA doesn't want the tournament to be politicised. And yet, within the last 24 hours, we saw that Donald Trump has been leaning heavily on Gianni Infantino to have a suspension lifted from a USA player. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for other people. I never attempt to. My opinions are my own. But it would suggest to me that FIFA's integrity and neutrality is in tatters.
Well, I think there's been this point about FIFA and UEFA for a long, long time that, you know, it's sort of keep politics out of football until politics are very much in football when it's...
Politics are very much in football, as Laurie will remember, when Gianni Infantino gave Donald Trump FIFA's inaugural World Peace Prize. So that brought politics right into the centre of it all. It's noticeable UEFA distanced themselves greatly from the FIFA decision. It'll be fascinating. You know, it was taken so close to the game. The poor Belgians don't really have time to mount any sort of appeal, but they will challenge it, even if it's after the game, even if they're knocked out. I would imagine something like this will go at least to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They will want to make sure that any sort of loopholes that Infantino is desperately, you know, clinging to are closed and this can never happen again. But Laurie's right, it really does call into question the neutrality of FIFA. It calls into question the fairness of FIFA. And it calls into question what a lot of people have been asking themselves for a long time, whether Infantino is the right man to take this body forward.
What about our own madness back home, Laurie? What's catching your eye in Scottish football?
Well, I think, Andrew, naturally, a lot of people have, understandably to some extent, been expressing concern about Celtic's lack of activity in the transfer market thus far. Although they appear to be getting the signing of this young Colombian guy who plays a quarterback over the line. And no doubt they've got Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain lined up for a one-year contract. Hopefully, they'll succeed in getting Kelechi Iheanacho back. But I think basically what's happening there is I think Celtic are playing a waiting game here to see who's going out first. And any money that's used from the transfer of outgoing players will be used to finance the acquisition of incomers. I'm certainly no cringing with fear or terror at the prospect that Rangers haven't signed a few journeymen, Dan Neil, Ben Godfrey, Ross McCrory, etc. And as for Jack Butland and Ivar Panu, if that's the correct pronunciation of the guy's name. I don't know which of the two goalkeepers has been used as the make-way, you know, in that deal. Celtic as a club generally conduct their business behind closed doors and discreetly, as opposed to the, you know, the glare of publicity.
It's part of the frustration for some supporters, Laurie, though, that the business quite often gets done very late in the window, which maybe hasn't worked over the last couple of transfer windows. Now, there's an argument to say Celtic won a double last season, but there can still be two things can be true at the same time. Celtic can still be the dominant force in Scottish football, can still win the trophies, but some supporters can maybe still question things in the transfer market and maybe that things could be operationally a bit better. Celtic could be on the front foot a bit more and maybe not have to wait for outgoings when they've got money in the bank. Could they not do stuff a bit sooner?
Well, Andrew, my response to that is I can't speak for other people. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I, for one, am not anxiety-ridden. And you've just touched on it. We're in capable hands. Celtic have won 14 of the last 15 titles. I'm quite happy, you know, that we'll get business done, you know, timeously. And there's still a month before the SPL kicks off, and there's still a month before the Champions League qualifiers. So I would say to anybody out there, you know, listening, let's just calm down to a frenzy. I'm pretty sure that the Blessed Martin has been given assurances from Dermot Desmond, etc., that the squad will be strengthened, and significantly so.
I think you're right to be calm, Laurie. And what I would say is Celtic won the double last season in spite of their transfer activity, not because of their transfer activity. And if the league was to... You're right, there's a month to go before the league kicks off. If the league kicked off tomorrow, the squad at Martin's disposal is a good squad. It's a squad that more or less won the double. My concern would come if and when Engels went, or Maeda went, or Hitati went, or, you know, there was a move for Alistair Johnson or something like that, Laurie. Once this squad starts losing players who need to be replaced, that's when any sort of anxiety would come in, I would suggest.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see what happens, Roger. But I'm pretty certain that Celtic are a team that's always crunched the numbers very successfully from a fiscal point of view. You know, and
how much better prepared does Celtic need to be for the Champions League qualifiers this year then, Laurie? You say, you know, the league campaign's not too far away. The Champions League qualifiers aren't too far away, I suppose. You know, will business need to be done before then to try and stop a repeat of last year?
Well, absolutely. Of course, you know, it's inevitable that, you know, players will come and players will go. I mean, that's no different from any other season. But as I say, Andrew, I can only speak for myself. I'm not the least bit anxious. I'm sitting here having palpitations about anything.
Well, there we go. That's all we've got time for tonight. And the fact that it is just a few days away and we'll be seeing teams in competitive action. I was quite looking forward to the Mark Wilson's group with Partick Thistle. He's coming up against Marvin Bartley in one of their Premier Sports Cup group stage matches. He's coming against his old team Brechin in the first match on Saturday as well.
I hope nobody at Brechin asks him for that tracksuit back, Andrew. Mm. That would be embarrassing.
Maybe hunting around charity shops to see if it shows up somewhere.
I don't even know where it will be now. Alex Ray bought it. I don't know where it went after that.
Maybe he's still got it. I think Alex Ray is in tomorrow night, so maybe he'll turn up wearing a full... Well, actually, being assistant manager of Partick Thistle, I'm playing Brechin the weekend. If he's got it, he can bring it in and I'll wear it on the show tomorrow night.
You enjoy the game when you go. Fill me in next Monday how it went.
Right, thank you to Laurie on the line. Thank you to Roger Hanna in the studio. Thank you to you at home for listening along, watching on the live stream, getting involved on the phones. As I say, I'll be back in the studio tomorrow night between 6 and 7 o'clock with Alex Ray, and it is Callum Gallagher up next.